Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land in which our food is now grown. Today, it is my pleasure to welcome Paul and Robin Gail Baker.
Good morning, thanks.
Back onto the show. If you're a follower of the show, you'll know that they've been on before. Robin and Paul are founders of Sustainable McLeod, which aims to build a resilient local community, encouraging residents of the McLeod area to shop locally, produce and share their own food, use environmentally friendly transport, and generally undertake other activities to promote sustainability, the main one being being part of the McLeod Community Garden.
Indeed.
And there is another episode too there where they discuss the importance of managing relationships in community organisations, given the inevitability of conflict. So using things like listening, self-reflection, cooperation and leadership. And I think in a lot of movements, these human factors are often underestimated, the importance of
them.
But as we often say in this show, things work best when people do it together, do them together. And today we've got a very interesting topic, I think. Robin and Paul have come on to talk about the Sustainable McLeod Tool Library, which is part of a broader movement called the Library of Things, which is taking place all over the world. So, Robin, can you just start us off? What is a Library of Things?
Well, thanks, Anne. A Library of Things is a collection of anything you can imagine, really. Items might include tools to fishing equipment, sewing machines to camera equipment, board games to musical instruments. It's a growing movement in Australia and overseas, and it generally falls into two categories here. And that's municipal libraries and community groups. So most local government areas in Melbourne have what's the short term lots, a library of things in their libraries. And they have quite a few advantages because they've got space and they've got staff and volunteers in many cases and lengthy opening hours. And then there's community groups, and these are generally incorporated associations. All are fee-based. Joining fees range between $30 and $180 a year. They have more limited opening hours. They're run entirely by volunteers, and often they're very specific in what they offer. They might offer kitchen equipment or gardening tools, for example. There's also an Australian Library of Tools Network, which has a very interesting website and is on Facebook, and it lists about 40 lots. And there's a very detailed and readable and interesting report from 2023 on their website that gives an insight into the reasons people prefer to borrow. And interestingly, the oldest library of things that we know of is right here in Brunswick, the Brunswick Tool Library.
All right. First of all, big shout out to libraries. I reckon they're the community hubs of the future. It's not just about
absolutely
quiet yes, place indeed. To borrow a book anymore. I love them. You can go there and get seats, everyone. Most libraries, you can go and get seats. And secondly, I was struck there by you saying the reasons why people prefer to borrow. And I'm very interested in the reasons why people prefer not to borrow, which is a problem, because people just want the convenience of having their own thing and not having to talk to anyone else when they want to get something done.
Indeed.
I'll go over to you, Paul.
Yeah, thanks.
And just tell us all the different kinds of libraries.
Look, the list of possible libraries of things is almost endless. Most people would be familiar with tools, you know, garden tools, and in our case, garden and household tools. But people also can set up libraries of kitchen items. We've even heard of a kite library, of all things.
Well,
but essentially, anything that can be shared can be part of a library.
A kite library, that just triggered off all these ideas that you could have, whatever your enthusiasm is, just set up a library for that.
Indeed.
And then people can join that are not quite sure and not sure how to do it or can't afford it.
Yeah. That's right.
Talk to me about what sort of principles are behind this, right? Because it's...
Well, certainly in our case, and you'd guess from the name Sustainable McLeod, that sustainability is right at the core of what we do, and I think what most of those libraries are about. So being able to operate in a sustainable kind of way, but also there's a fundamental issue of sharing. And you mentioned a little bit earlier about people not wanting necessarily to share, but libraries work best with people who want to share and want to be part of a community that's a sharing community. The other thing that you almost alluded to there with the kite library is that people have the opportunity to try something out before they buy. So not that we're necessarily completely doing away with consumerism, but giving people the opportunity to try something before they buy it is very helpful. In the case of people renting, for example, being able to use an induction cooktop, perhaps to see if that's going to work for them, something which is portable, because quite a few of those are portable, and we have one of those.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So conceivably someone could go, I can't afford to buy one of those because they're like Rolls Royce or something to buy. So they could just go and borrow one and...
Well, exactly, or even potentially borrow it with the aim of perhaps buying it if it's suitable for them.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, a lot of people are going to be long-term renters.
Absolutely. Mm. And you don't want to be taking a lot of big tools around either. You might not have a shed at every place and all of
Indeed.
That.
Indeed, yes.
Mm. All right, so we're talking about the circular economy. We're not talking about completely putting an end to consumerism and capitalism. We're just,
we're making a dent.
You're making a small dent or a
Good
big
way
dent.
To put it.
We don't even know how big the dent is, with these things that are small things in a lot of different places, right?
Indeed.
So how did Sustainable McLeod get involved? I mean, I know it's because you two just get involved in anything like this that looks helpful. What happened with
Well, it's
that?
Quite an interesting story, actually. We were approached, Sustainable McLeod, that is, by an officer from Banyul City Council who had been commissioned to do a study into Library of Things. So both what was available in Banyul, which is our municipality, and also what the interest would be in developing more libraries of things. So in Banyul at the moment, it turns out that there's a toy library and there's our library. Now, we're in a position, and this is the reason that we were approached, is we had a very small tool library, but we had no dedicated space for it, and it was basically shoved in to a shipping container that had been purchased for something else, and we had no room to display the tools. But this was a very inspiring interview, I guess, on both sides. And afterwards, we took it to the executive and the garden committee to think about whether we might expand the tool library we had. And we did that, and we applied for 2 grants, and we were successful. So we got another shipping container, which we fitted out, and we applied in the second grant for more tools. And we were also very fortunate that there's a local supplier called Ryset, who supplies nurseries with garden equipment. And when I asked them for a quote on tools for the grant, they offered us $1,000 worth of tools as a donation, and that was fabulous. And those tools are really high quality pruning equipment, etc. So we were very, very fortunate there. And of course, we're very happy to accept donations.
Well, look, that's another inspiring thing about riding the wave. You know, if Banyul wants to come on board, get with it, talk to them, and then you've got a private company involved as well. Just how it all works, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the whole community coming together.
Yeah.
And there's been such excitement about this.
Mm-hmm.
And our membership has increased as a result.
Right.
People really do appreciate that opportunity.
Yeah. And so, Paul, what sort of things can they borrow if they want to from Sustainable McLeod?
Well, as you might imagine, given that we have a substantial community garden, garden tools are right at the forefront. But we also have a reasonable range of workshop kind of tools, so saws and drills and things like that. We've got the beginnings of a kitchen library, so we have a dehydrator. And if people know what black garlic is and how expensive that is...
Talk about that.
Yep. So black garlic is a fermented garlic, and it's fabulous. It's incredibly expensive. But we have a portable... a fermenter that will produce black garlic, so people can borrow that for the cost only of energy and garlic. We have those three distinct areas of tool library. The other one we've had since we began is a seed library.
Mm-hmm.
We don't charge for that. The seeds are free to anybody who'd like to have them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to reiterate, you know, anyone right now that wants to get some seeds can go down to the library. Most libraries, I'd say, nowadays.
Yes, that's right.
Or at least ask your local library, and they'll be happy to give you some seeds because a lot of them sit there and people don't realise they can just take them.
That's right.
And then you can plant them and let your plant go to seed and bring them back again to the library.
Yes.
Yeah, we always appreciate it if people do bring some seed back.
Yeah. So, look, we'll have a little break, I think, and then we'll be right back with more chat about this.
Slums in some metropolitan centres are coming down, condemned by forward-looking civic governments. Down are coming the bad living conditions that produce bad citizens.
The practical uses of asbestos are very numerous. At least 18,000 articles are made of it.
In the spring, the nature-loving Australian goes bush. The wife washes and the dishes dry themselves.
Amy is a serial pest.
Cities within cities, scientifically planned and built, where a man and his family with a small income can live with comfort and dignity as investments in democracy.
Kill your lawn and kick your fence. A show about how we live in the cities and suburbs and the ideologies behind them. Fridays every fortnight at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on 3CR 855 AM.
It's from rubbish tip to you.
We're talking about ecological thinning and subsidised logging, but we basically mean the same things, don't we, here?
Wherever there are chemical corporations around the world, they're constantly trying to chip away at regulations.
Earth Matters, bringing you environmental and social justice stories, from developments in government and industry to the campaigns and communities that are standing up to them. Earth Matters plays at 11 a.m. Sunday and 6:30 a.m. Wednesday. Turn your dial to 855 a.m. or listen online at 3cr.org.au.
While the headlines have subsided, the nuclear power plant is still not under control, with the spent fuel rods removed from only one out of four reactors.
Law needs to change so that our rights can be recognised, so that decisions in relation to the use and exploitation of our lands is out.
This is a Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kHz, Sonia AM, radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. Please visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. And also, if you go to 3CR Local Food Connections and click on episodes, you'll find all of our podcasts, including previous podcasts of interviews we've done with Robin and Paul Gale Baker, who are our guests today, talking about Sustainable McLeod's Library of Things. Now, just what did you say were the most popular things, Paul?
Yeah, so the most popular tools so far are the gardening tools, yeah, and particularly things like the hedge trimmer.
Uh-huh.
And we have a very powerful battery-operated lopper that'll take out sizable prunings.
Mm-hmm.
Also powered pruners and so on. And some of the larger pruning tools that are manual. So we have a very long extendable pole with a very sharp saw on the end of it. So people have even taken out branches at quite some considerable height that otherwise they might have to use a ladder to get to.
Or pay someone.
Or indeed pay somebody else.
Yeah. Right, well, obviously there's some questions arising in my mind. What if someone takes one of your great expensive tools and does a runner? What if someone doesn't look after it properly? I might go over to Robin on that. How does the system work?
Well, we're membership based, and to borrow a tool, you do have to be a member of Sustainable McLeod, and we think it's not very likely that that's going to happen. We certainly hope not.
It's important. I think a lot of people. I didn't actually think that myself,
yeah,
because I'm part of a food swap and everything, yeah, and I see how much goodwill there is, and most people don't abuse things,
yeah.
And I love community gardens that don't have a gate on them, and just visited the St Kilda Community Garden on the weekend, and it was just beautiful to see how the gates were open, and anybody can just walk in, and they're not worried about people stealing their veggies or anything. So, just talking about that. So, can you talk, Robin, a little bit more about those values and principles that are underlying this sort of enterprise?
Yeah. Our tool library, we have three principles. Borrow, not buy is the first one, and that's about reducing consumerism and particularly waste.
Yes.
Yeah. Our second principle is tackling climate change as a community. So we don't have any petrol-driven tools. They're very polluting. Such as motor mowers or petrol-driven whippersnippers, etc. All our tools are manual or battery-operated, and we have an off-grid system at the community garden so we can recharge the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
We do ask people to bring them back fully charged, but it doesn't always happen.
This is a solar system?
Yes, a solar system. And then the third one is really keeping people as active as possible as they age or develop disabilities. So all the battery-operated equipment is really lightweight and very easy to use. Now, for example, I have arthritis at the base of my thumbs, and I would be going to prune one tree an afternoon if I was using manual tools, but with the battery-operated secateurs, which are probably the most popular tool that we lend, we have a number of those, I could do six or eight trees in an afternoon.
Mm.
So people love the battery-operated secateurs, but it really, we want to keep people as active as possible for as long as possible, and this really allows people that opportunity. And they're probably not going to buy a lot of tools as they age, because as we age, we're tending to downsize and perhaps give away
our tools. Things.
Yeah.
How do you deal with maintenance, either of you? Do you?
So we have a number of members who are able to maintain tools. Maintenance generally is relatively straightforward because they're gardening tools that are most in use. Cleaning secateurs and so on is readily handled by garden members, but that is certainly an issue Being able to find people who can maintain things. So at the moment it's obviously volunteers and garden volunteers, but it's early days and we're going to find what challenges we have to face. And
you don't know yet. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
You can probably take them along to a repair cafe.
We certainly would, and we support the local repair cafe. There's one I know in Greensboro.
Yeah.
Another shout out to repair. I love libraries and I love repair cafes.
Me too.
Anyone out there, if you need a bit of inspiration today or in the coming week, just go to one and see all these people that just show up just to fix your things for you. Mm. And then people bring all these old sentimentally, this is my mum's kettle, and and someone tries to fix it for them. Really, really good. And what about, do you charge them to borrow or anything like that? Or
yeah, so first of all, there's the fee to join Sustainable McLeod. Now, that's the membership fee for the whole organisation, which gives people access to produce and to events and so on. But we do charge for the more expensive tools. We charge a $5 maintenance fee, so that is a way of helping cover maintenance, and a smaller charge on some of the manual tools. That said, our charges are less than any of the other tool libraries,
right?
That we've seen. We're quite relatively inexpensive.
Our membership fee is $30 a year.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow! And then you could borrow a tool for $5, and then how long would you keep that for?
A week is the period
great.
Of time.
That's great.
You know, if that tool hasn't been booked out in the meantime, then people can take it out again. But a week is the extent.
Yeah. We do ask them to bring it back after a week. We don't have extensions. You can't go online and extend because other people are going to want to use it.
So what? I'm just wondering how many people have access to, do you know so far?
It is about, and I'm looking at a sheet of borrowings, at the moment it's around about 30 people. Across
May,
a range of tools since May, so small at the moment.
Mm.
But every gardening session, there's somebody coming to borrow a tool.
Mm-hmm.
So it's certainly ticking over, and we anticipate that as time goes by, there'll be more people. And of course, at the moment, it's winter.
True, nobody's doing much in the garden.
People are not necessarily doing a lot in the garden or even around home. We expect it to tick up as the weather warms up too.
Mm, I'm sure it'll grow in all sorts of directions that you can't anticipate or don't anticipate.
Yeah.
So can you talk just more generally about your enthusiasm for this? What is it that you love about this?
I love the fact that we're part of a circular economy, that we're developing community, that we're becoming more resilient as a community. There's really a lot of advantages too, and of having a tool library in bringing the community together. So, for example, renters. I had a lovely woman come to the garden yesterday to look at the tool library, considering joining. She's a renter. She doesn't want to buy a lawnmower, and she wants to be able to maintain the property that she lives on. She doesn't have storage area. So renters really appreciate being able to borrow items to do small jobs. Sometimes, particularly when they're moving into a place and there isn't a shelf or a clothesline in place, whatever.
Mm.
I also think that there's huge advantages for people in terms of the cost of living crisis.
Yeah,
people simply really cannot afford to buy a lot of items that they might need to use, and maybe not need to use regularly even. It might be once or twice a year. So there's no maintenance costs for people other than the small fee that they charge, and some of our tools don't even have a maintenance fee. And if you think of the cost of servicing a lawnmower, for example, that might be a couple of $100. That's a real cost on your budget. People don't have to replace blades, they don't have to buy oils or disinfectants, etc. We are very good at disinfecting our tools because we don't want to pass disease from one garden to another. So we do ask people to bring tools back in a clean state, but once they're back, all blades are sprayed with methylated spirits. I mean, tackling climate change is just huge for us as a community. It's what sustainable is all
that's
about.
That's it. Yeah, that's the context. Mm.
And I think one of the things a tool library does is it makes people feel empowered as individuals at home. It's not something that they think they can't do anything about. Paul, you might like to talk about community engagement.
Yeah, I was going to say that's one that we're particularly fond of. So having a library like this, by definition, means that people are getting together. And for us, community engagement is fundamental to the work that we do, bringing people together and really specifically bringing people of different age groups together. So we... Whereas a lot of community gardens have a membership in the upper age bracket, like we are, what we notice with the tool library is it brings in people of various ages and stages of life. Yeah. And, you know, so just that mingling of people from the community. And there's also that feel-good factor that helps with community engagement too. People are sharing something, people are enjoying something, they're, you know, able to take on a task they wouldn't otherwise be able to take on. But I think, too, the other thing to think about with community is the engagement of older residents, and particularly residents with expertise. So there are older residents with expertise, but also younger residents with expertise too. So there's a lot of cross mingling of interests and expertise, and I just love that.
So do I, because you don't want to have a war with the generations, and young people have got great expertise in networking through the social networks.
Yep.
That's huge, and just the technical side of a lot of things. And then the old people have got this wisdom of interpersonal wisdom, and also they know how to fix stuff.
They do
a lot of the time.
That's right.
I think another advantage, say the tool library, is that people can be shown how to operate those tools and how to do it safely.
Yep.
We have a lot of safety equipment too, and that's free for people. So being able to borrow and get some instruction is really quite important. I mean, you don't necessarily get that if you go and buy
something. I'm just going to interrupt you. I've actually got a little tool at home that I bought.
Yeah.
It's a little circular saw thing.
Yeah.
Went and bought it actually from having a conversation with you and Guy, I think.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So went Guy from Palmer from Local Food Connection. I went and got it and used it, and then it jammed. And I just, you know what I did when it jammed? I just put it down, and I haven't picked it up since because I don't identify as someone who can fix mechanical things, which is ridiculous because I probably could muck about with it.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't mine and I had to get it back to you guys, then I'd say I've jammed this, and somebody would show me how to fix that.
That's right.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned before, Paul, the feel-good factor. And when we say feel-good factor, it almost sounds a little bit like it's just an add-on. But it's not.
No, not at all.
The feel good. What's the feel good about? Talk about that.
Well, I mean, the feel good factor is what cements communities together.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something that I think's been lacking over the years, and we're starting to build that up.
Yeah.
But that is what pulls communities together. What allows them to.
Yeah. So it's not just a little added on thing, isn't it? Also, it also, because you often get that, it also makes you feel good. No, it makes you feel good because it's the proper thing to do as a being that lives in community with other beings. It means that you're doing something right.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, we got to go, sadly, because we always run out of time. So
well, thanks for having us.
Thank you
very much again for coming in, and all the best with getting a big take up of that. We were talking before too, just quickly, that to say that you're getting, like, sometimes, what did you say, 15,000 people reading your newsletter? did you say?
Well, specific articles.
Yeah,
we
and,
have,
yeah.
They're all on our website, sustainablemcleod.org.au. Yeah. And I think we've got nearly 500 articles locally written.
Yep.
And, yeah, we get huge hits.
Yeah, and it's the same with the Local Food Connect website. So if anyone's in any doubt over there, there that these are just small, insignificant things, they're not.
Yeah, we work closely with Local Food Connect and both our newsletters and websites.
Yeah, so it's a growing, it's a lot of people involved.
It's a lot.
Okay, have to go. Thank you very much again.
Thank you,
Anne.
Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus, take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Also, check out your libraries, check out your repair cafes, check out your libraries of things. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.